church say amen. Let church say amen again. I mean, if we could just lock on to the words of that song and live out the words of that song, we would have something captured. Lord, I want to labor each day. Every day? If we could do it every day? Think about that, church, for just a minute. We could do it every day, and then I just want to spread the good news of the gospel around. Is that all right?
That's all right.
My goodness, the place will be filled if we just do that. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Luke, the 13th chapter. We begin our reading at the 6th verse of why you can get in that giving honor to God, the Father, to Jesus, His Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us, to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harris Sylvester Stinger, First Lady, Only Lady, Sister Stinger, to my fellow sufferers in the gospel, assistant pastor, to the deacon and deaconess who are here, to the choir and the musicians who've done such a marvelous job, to my lovely wife of 29 years for real, going on 30. Amen. 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 And to you, God's children, it's just so good to see you on this morning and to see how blessed you really are.
Yes, sir.
Now, we are at a point here where the children are getting ready to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Some are all back to college, and I know y'all feel some of you all are smiling way too big. I know I am too. Amen, 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 amen. So I want to focus here for a minute on a passage that I think we all could glean some lesson from, but let's get into it. Luke, the 13th chapter, I'm reading it from the 6th through the 9th verse, and I'm reading from the King James Version. It reads thusly, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down."
Mm-hmm.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we come to tell you thank you.
Thank you, God.
Just for being God and God all by yourself. We need you today. Father, we need you today like we never needed you before. We pray now, Lord, that you give us your word, that you would open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Lord, use us in your service on the day. Give me a word, Lord, from you. And as you do so, Lord, hide me so deep within the crest of the cross and behind it, till none of me is seen, but only you get the glory. Allow us to all go from here crying out to the world that because you live, they can live also.
Yes,
this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Church responded by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. As you're resting on your seats, I want you to think about a topic we'll use, another chance to do right. Very basic, another chance to do right. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got some good news. I mean some real good news. I have another chance to do right. Turn to yourself and say, self, I got some good news. I've got another chance to do right. Now, I figure that I'm on good standing when I offer up a opportunity for all to do right, because I believe that that really does capture all of us. Because now, unless you're perfect, now I know there's someone, we'll get to you in a minute, those who are, but if you've done something wrong, this really kind of encapsulates an opportunity to get things right.
Yes, sir.
If you're breathing today, if you're breathing right now, I know the Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And maybe you were breathing before and you didn't praise him, but I have some good news. You have another chance.
Yes, sir.
To do right. Now, for those of you who think you have it all together, you perfect types, that's okay, because this fits you as well. Because if you've been doing it right, this says just keep on doing it right.
Yes,
so that takes care of everybody, right?
Right?
Now, I believe, though, if I look at my Bible, that all of us have sinned. That's what he said in Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12. All have sinned and come short. Now, that means that none of us gone long. We've all come short. Anybody gone long? Everybody's come short. Everybody here, everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody out there in internet land, everybody that I know has come short. That's what called, we just came in a common denominator. I know some of you mathematicians might get that. Some of you all may not. That means we're all on a level playing field. We've all been down this same road. Everybody here has sinned. So you can stop looking at somebody else and thinking that you're better than them, because everybody here has sinned and come short.
Yes,
that puts us on the same level. I know you might be able to say, well, I didn't sin. I haven't sinned in the last year. That might be the first time you did it since then, but that takes care of you, puts you back in the category. But you might be able to say that I haven't sinned since in a whole week. But the fact of the matter is, all have sinned. Now, I think it's important because as Christians, we need to understand, we need to stop looking at folks cross-eyed and sideways and funny like we're better than somebody else. We need to understand that we've all come the same way. Everybody here needed a Savior. That's why the Savior died. So that puts us on the same, a level playing field. So we find here in our text, today we want to draw an analogy between a fig tree and man. Now, there are three things I want to come and things I want us to focus on. Number one is the charge. That is, the tree had a charge and we have a charge. That is, the tree was positioned and purpose. And we, too, are positioned and purpose. Second is a chance. The tree was given an opportunity. The tree didn't produce fruit for 3 years. But it was given an opportunity for another year to produce. Now, whether you know it or not, you'll find out that you, too, have been given a chance. And finally, a choice. Now, despite the fact that you may have a chance, you also have a choice. You can or you cannot. You may or you may not. You will or you will not take action on your choice. But you have a choice. And see, that's why some of us are having a problem right now, because God let us have a choice. We call free will agents. If I wasn't a free will agent, I wouldn't have a. You ask J.R. Smith. He's back at the Cavaliers, by the way, because he had a choice.
That's right.
He had a choice. That's all right. That's all right. You'll get it in a minute. Charge. The first thing I like to highlight is a charge. This tree, this fig tree. Look at verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain fig tree. Man had planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon. The fig tree was purpose, position, and purpose. It was positioned in a vineyard with the purpose to produce fruit. That's what a fig tree is supposed to do, is to produce, let me guess, figs. It's not rocket science, is it? So that is the job of the fig tree. Now, notice, it was not an unusual to find fig trees planted in vineyards. Trees were grown wherever the soil was good enough for them to grow. But in the vineyard, the fig tree was an especially favored position, a spot selected for its fertility, separated from the surrounding field, and cultivated with special care with the view solely to produce fruit. In the vineyard, the fig tree was given more than an average chance to survive. Did y'all hear what I say?
Yes, sir.
More than an average chance to survive. When I look at where we are today, I'm convinced that we, too, have more than an average chance to survive. Now, I think that you all live in Lowndes County. More than an average chance. Going to some of the best schools? More than an average chance. Living in some of the best houses? Come on now, somebody. More than some of the best neighborhoods? Wearing some of the best clothes? Some solid and stable families? More than an average chance to produce fruit. We too are specially favored in a specially favored position, and our purpose, now let me note this, is also to produce fruit. The psalmist said it this way. He said, look here, let me let you know who we are. He said in Hebrew, and also in Psalms 8, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? Look at it. He said, thou had made him a little lower than an angel. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, what I just told you about you is that you are a leader. See, some of you all just wanted to be followers, but the Lord didn't position you to be a follower. He set you up to be a leader. So you are a leader. He put you on leadership, gave you dominion over his work. That means you are a what? So it's all right. Don't be afraid to say it. That means you'll see. That's why some of us can't lead, because we're afraid to accept our leadership role.
Right now.
That's the problem, too. We got too many followers and not enough leaders. Now, I know y'all heard that. I know y'all heard that the other way. We got too many, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. But I need to let you know we don't have enough chiefs.
All right now.
Because God has put us in dominion over his work. But see, now good leaders they make good followers. You got to follow your leaders. Leaders need to be led also. So that even though you are a leader, you need to be led. And guess who your leader is? Who that? God. Huh? God is your leader. And if you're not going to follow your leader, then it's hard for you actually to lead, because it's hard to know what you're going to lead. But I need you to know you are a leader, but part of our challenge is we find ourselves wanting to follow stuff. And therefore, you follow me, whatever I say. You follow somebody else coming in, whatever they say. Whatever sounds good for the day, we'll follow that. Whatever fad happened to be running, we'll follow that. We won't lead nothing, but we'll just follow whatever sounds good and feels good and wherever the crowd happens to be. I think we call it majority rule. But God said he made us a leader. Now, let me see, how do we get in a position where we follow our leader? John 4:2-4 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And in truth, Romans 8:9 said, wait a minute, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwelling in you. So we got to have the spirit of God. Romans 8:14 said that, but as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we need something inside of us. Somebody say, I went to the church one night and my heart wasn't right, but something, and he said, actually it was somebody, got a hold of me. It was the Holy Ghost. And when you have the Holy Ghost on the inside, you can be led by the Spirit of God. Then you are called the sons of God. Now, why is this important? Well, because if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's hard to walk in the Spirit. But if you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, why is that important? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you have the Spirit of God, then you know what you're supposed to do. You ought to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. We talked about that for a whole year. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are fruit that we as Christians ought to be producing automatically. I hope y'all got that. Some of us have to work way too hard. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, y'all know what I'm talking about. We got to make it. I'm not going to make it shine. And we have to make it shine. But we ought to just be able to just let it. Love ought to be automatic. It ought to be on the front end of it. Long suffering ought to be on the front end. Temperance and goodness and faith ought to be on the front end of what we do. When we get up in the morning, we ought to be producing fruit. When we lay down at night, we ought to be producing fruit. Our thoughts should be about producing fruit. How we connect with and love one another, instead of what I'm going to do to you if you look at me the wrong way. I wish you would. Now, here's going to be a good one, because this is very relevant. Because in this house, I was just informed that the air is working on one side, but not on the other. Now, I'm not going to tell you which side it is, because I don't want anybody to get up and move. But if I move to this side, you cut a little air off from folk and let them get a little hot. You find out what Christian really means. We need to be able to produce fruit, whether it's cool or whether it's hot. But without the fruit of the Spirit, we will find ourselves coming up with some other alternative. And we need to understand that, see, without the fruit of the Spirit, we want to do it, come up with a substitute. There's the passage in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 17. He said that, and that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they came to the baptism, and John was speaking. He said, oh, ye generation of vipers, who has warned you that you should flee from that which is to come? He said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. And think not within yourselves to say to yourself, we are Abraham of our father, for we say unto you that God is able even of these stones to call children of Abraham. Now here's the point. They came to the baptism with an attitude.
Come on, sir.
They didn't have to behave like anybody else because they were Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
I said that Abraham was their father.
Right.
See, some of us, if you don't have the Spirit of God, what's going to happen is you come in thinking that there's another way. That there is actually a substitute, that you can do things differently because my mama went to this church.
Come on, sir. Come on.
My daddy went to this church. I've been at this church for 20 years. We've been doing it this way.
That's
I just
right.
thought I'd put that one in there. I was raised in this church.
Come on, sir. Come on.
And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but you know, we have people with attitudes that think that there's another way. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you figure that you have some authority that's different from the authority that God actually provides. You'll try to find a substitute. That was the problem that this tree was having. The fig tree, there was no substitute for producing fruit. See, he stood tall and erect, but that was not the purpose of a fig tree. He added beauty to the vineyard, but that was not the purpose of a fig tree. He produced shade for the local vines, but that was not the purpose of the fig tree. The purpose of the fig tree was to produce fruits. There is no substitute. And church, there is no substitute for us. You don't take my word for it. Talk to Jonah. He'll tell you that you cannot substitute Tarshish for Nineveh. Naaman will tell you you can't substitute Damascus for Jordan. You've got to do what God called. We cannot substitute being an anvil for being a hammer. Being molded from being a molder. We cannot substitute being a thermometer from being a thermostat. Regulating versus being regulated by the temperature. Saying from doing. We can't substitute professing from possessing. We've got to understand. We've got to do what God said do. Titus said in 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works and then decent in works they deny him being abominable unto every good work reprobate. You're saying one thing, I'm a Christian. But doing another's. James said in 1:3, he said, be doers of the word, not hearing only, doing what? Deceiving your own self. It's something when you fool other folks. It's almost expected. Because you can fool some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time. But the fact that you fool yourself is foolishness. He said, look here, beware of false prophets coming to you in sheep clothing and raven and inside their raven and wood. You shall know them by their fruit. He said, every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is a good tree. And every tree that bringeth forth evil is an evil tree. This is not rocket science. I mean, if somebody come to you cussing and lying, don't judge them. Just know it. Know the tree when you see the tree. Have you ever seen an apple tree produce oranges? Anybody country around here? I used to have a pear tree, and we used to use a set of pear trees near my grandmama's house. And every time you go out there when it's time for seeding for them to grow, they produce pears.
That's right.
I never saw anything come off that pear tree but pears.
That's right.
I hope y'all getting this. A tree is known, Matthew 12:38, by the fruit that is bare. We got to stop using that age-old excuse, well, the Lord knows my heart. How is it that? How is it that we can have the Lord know our heart, but he doesn't know our actions? Here's the problem, though. We don't even know our own heart. Let me write that down. Jeremiah 17:9-10. He said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try to read to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. You say you know your heart, but you don't even know your heart. That's why you're falling in and out of love. Because you don't even have your heart together. You don't know it, but God knows it. But Lord, you're doing all kind of stuff that's causing you not to be able to shout on Sunday morning.
My Lord. Come on.
And you come in on Sunday morning and expect the choir to sing you. I thought I was going to say preach you, but I mean, we expect the choir to sing you to happen. It's hard to do when you've been doing everything that you're big enough to do, but not doing what you're required to do, but to enter into his gate with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Now, if we would get a folks that just, I mean, I'm not saying, look, think about this one. I'm not saying do this all week, but try this one out. Saturday night, that's the day before Sunday. Before you go, no, that's too much. That's too, Sunday morning, when you get up out of bed, get yourself ready to come to church. If you would just do it on Sunday morning, just before you get in the door, so that when you come to the door and you enter the door, if you start entering with thank you, it'd be different. Did y'all follow me? Let's try it next Sunday. That's an action for you. Try it. Lord doesn't want your heart when your feet are going everywhere else. A visible change should be seen in your life when you claim that you know and trust the Messiah, according to Romans 10:9-10. Love ought to replace hate.
My God.
Joy should replace sadness. Peace ought to replace confusion. Long-suffering ought to replace short-temperedness. Goodness should replace badness. Gentleness should replace abrasiveness. Faith should replace disbelief. Meekness should replace high-mindedness. And temperance should replace excessiveness. God is searching for fruit, and you can fool some people, but the Lord's eyes are in every place. Beholding the good and the evil. Now here's the problem, because he said when he gets to that point where he's going to separate the sheep from the goat,
that's right,
he's going to know what you done did,
that's right,
and done said.
Amen.
And what was in your heart.
Mm.
Now the question you got to ask yourself is, who are you trying to fool?
My Lord.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
So first I need us to understand that we have a purpose, and our purpose is to produce fruit. Everybody here has been put in a position of leadership. And so our job is to lead. Now understand, not all of us going to lead the same thing, because that's where confusion comes in. But God has put in your heart, in your spirit, something for you to do. Now I do want to edit, though. I don't know, and if you've been called to this, let me know. Bench warming was, I don't believe, in the, as an option. But now let me know. I don't want to exclude, though. Some people might. Now maybe God called you to that ministry. But if He called you to that ministry, let me know, because I don't want to offend nobody. But because I've been known to say this oftentimes. But so if it's anybody here been called a bitch woman ministry, just let me know so I can stop saying that. Okay. But if not, then as far as I know today, as far as my information, as my study revealed, God hasn't called, but He's called us all to lead something.
That's right.
Amen. So you need to get involved in what that is and not warm the bench.
My God.
Besides that, the air is off on this side. They're going to be warm anyway.
Praise the Lord.
The next thing we need to do, we have a chance. It's an opportunity. Look at what verse 6b and 8 said. He found none, came and saw fruit, and found none.
Mm-hmm.
He said to the dresser, behold, these 3 years, I've come seeking fruit and I find none. He said, cut it down.
Right.
Why is it taking up space?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it cumbering the ground? He asked the Lord, let alone this year till I dig about it. The fig tree had been there for 3 years, and all it takes for a fig tree to reach maturity is 3 years. If it's not producing fruit after 3 years, really, it's a waste. But you understand, even a dead tree, what appears to be a dead tree, is taking from things around it. When you have something dead in the ground, anybody plant flowers around here? If you got a dead tree, that root is somehow, it's in the system, it's drawing water from other useful trees that's producing fruit. So when you have something dead in your midst,
dead,
it might seem like it ain't hurting nobody. I mean, it's just dead. I mean, we just let it stay there because it's dead. But when it's dead, it's taken away from folks. I hope y'all get that. See, when you sitting around here all dead, you might think you ain't bothering nobody. You ain't affecting nobody. I ain't messing with nobody. Nobody else mess with me. Well, you drawing the spirit from somebody else, and the church can't be free, and you're affecting somebody sitting on pins and needles next to you because they don't want to say nothing wrong to you because you just dead. Just to say, it's had 3 years to produce fruit. Had all the chance in the world, but Master, let it alone this year. Give it another chance. To do right.
Yes, sir.
We've had ample opportunity, every one of us, to produce the fruit God has called us to produce, but
amen,
not all of us have produced those fruit.
Yeah.
And the dresser comes on our behalf and said, give them
another chance
to do right.
Yeah.
Isn't that good news, church?
Good news.
That despite the fact of our shortcoming, God still says, I'm going to give them another chance.
Yeah.
How do we get here? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Yes,
that whosoever believes shall not perish but have, how do we get here? 33 years he was on the earth, and he ended his mission on earth on a cross. That's what Jesus died, that we might live.
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:21 said, no, wait a minute, and that we might have the right to be the righteousness of God. He made himself sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God. We have been made righteous by Jesus' death.
That's right. Amen.
Despite our dead state, Jesus died for our sins and gave us another chance to do right. He died, he rose. He said, I got all power in heaven and in earth. He sits at the right hand of God and gives us an opportunity to do right. Let me bear myself out. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than risen again, who is even at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. Since we can't get it right ourselves, we have an intercessor. Let me go further. 1 Timothy 2:5. But there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is a man, Jesus Christ. Since we can't get it right ourselves, we have an intercessor. We have a mediator that's sitting there on our behalf. All we have to do is just call on him. I said, we have another chance. Isn't that good news, church? I said, we have another chance. See, the startling matter in life is not that disaster overtakes us, but that disaster is so long and do it. Let me walk this thing out. It's not that we slip, but that we slide. It's not that we slide, but that we stumble. It's not that we stumble, but that we fall. But if somebody sing it right, we fall down. But it's not that we fall, but that we waddle. It's not that we waddle, but that we wade. It's not that we wade, but that we swim. It's not that we swim, but that we drown. It's not that we sin, but that we just keep on. Y'all can say it. That's all right. I'm talking about me. If we say, John said, 1 John 9, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin to our intercessor, our mediator, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah said it this way. He said, wait a minute. He said, Jeremiah said, well, look, the Lord word came to me and said, he said, arise and go down to the potter's house.
That's right.
He said, I went down and I'll cause you to hear my word. He said, I went down to the potter's house and behold, the potter wrought a work on the wheel while I was there. And the vessel that he made was marred in his hand. So he made it and yet another vessel. A vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I do you as this potter, said the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, y'all hear this now, so are you in my hand. Isn't that good news, church, that despite our error and our shortcoming, God can take our mistake and make us over again. He can give us another chance to do right. Some of that's good news to somebody. Somebody needed that from last night. Somebody needed that from last week. Somebody needed that from this morning. I said, that's good news for somebody. Somebody ought to be shouting right now because they have another chance to do right. I don't know about you, but I discovered that. I was working this because I was late coming in this morning. I got some message, some things. I got some shortcomings that I've done some things right. And so I'm excited today because guess what I have? I don't know if y'all heard it. And you know what? It's okay if you don't, because truth of the matter is, it's for me. And what God has for me. Romans 7:9. He said, for it is good Paul looked at his challenge in life. He said, well, the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. He said, I seem to be challenged that every time I desire to do good, evil is always present. I mean, every time I say I'm not going to say what I'm going to say, I end up saying. Every time I say I'm not going to do what I normally do, I end up doing it. He said, but I got some good news for you that we have another chance. He said, come unto us all you, come let's reason together, said the Lord. Though your sin be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be. That's a God who will clean you up. He said, now wait a minute. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is this day of salvation. Grandmama used to tell me, he said, grace woke me up this morning. Grace started me on my way. Now, I don't know about you, but as a kid, I realized I didn't have nobody in my family named Grace. So I'm working trying to figure out who Grandmama talking about. And does granddaddy know about it? But then I got a little bit older. And guess what, church? Guess who woke me up this morning? Guess who started me on my way? I think Sheila knows about Grace. That's Grace. That's a good God that we serve. Because he's given me another chance. Every day is a new day. It's a new dawning. It's a new opportunity. No matter how difficult or how bad yesterday was, today is another chance to do it right. That we ought to get excited about an opportunity to get it right this time. Let me go. Last point I want to make is about a choice. Now you got to understand that even though you have another chance, you got to make a decision. You got to decide on something. There's nothing wrong with having an opportunity to go to 50,000 restaurants. You just need to eat at one. You got to make a choice. I mean, it's all right to have, you know, to have a chance, but make a choice. Are you going to do it or not? You're going to follow him or you're not going to follow him? And he said in the ninth verse, he said, and if it bear fruit, well, but if not, hear what he said, then after that, cut it down. I'm not giving you forever to do this. At some point next year, if this tree is not producing fruit, cut it down. Because I agree with you, it's taking up space. So we need to get rid of it. So next year, but not this year, but next year. So in other words, even though you have a choice, and I'm going to work with it, I'm going to cultivate it. I'm going to break up the fallow ground. I'm going to put water in. I'm going to put in the necessary nutrients. I'm going to give it every possible chance to produce fruit. But if it doesn't produce fruit, then that's just right. Go ahead. Yeah. I hope y'all hear that now. We've been warming these benches so long. I mean, they good now. They've been warmed over right now. So now I need somebody to get out and work. My harvest is plenteous, but my labors are few. I need somebody to get out and work. And y'all good now? Y'all rested now? Y'all been off your feet for a while. You've been, you know, in that bench warming ministry, been handling it good and tight now. I need somebody to go out and tell the dying world that because he lives, they can live also. So are we good now? But now if you don't get up this year, I'm going to have to get you to move. Because we got to get somebody else in here. Let me make this here a little bit plainer, because you may not get it. If the fruit doesn't show in one's life, judgment will come. Let me bear myself out. Romans 6:1 said, so shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Just because I have been given another chance, that doesn't mean I need to keep on doing wrong. He said, no, that God forbid. He said, the thing that separates between you and your God is your iniquity. Isaiah 59:1-2. He said, but you don't want to find yourself separated from God. And I know we serve a patient God, because 2 Peter tells us he's long-suffering to us. He's not coming back because he's giving us another chance to get it right. He said, but now there's going to come a day when every man's work shall be made manifest. And his works shall declare it. That's 1 Corinthians 3:13. He said, we got it. But you have to understand that if you're going to go and be with the Lord, you got to make an investment in your eternity, make an investment in your future. And I would start by making an investment in my foundation. I would make sure that I'm connected to a rock. Y'all know this rock, right? This rock that he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Some of y'all call him the Rock of Ages. Some call him a solid rock. But this rock is Jesus. And Jesus is coming back. But if he's coming back, we got to understand what we do matters. You can't always be not doing anything to help the kingdom and thinking that you're going to be going to the kingdom. You know, I work in an organization. I tell people, everybody want to be an executive. But to be an executive means that you have to have some executive ideas.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, if you're not involved in kingdom building, why we want to make you run then? Why you want to be the pastor and you ain't, you know, you're not really concerned about, you just want to pay. Oh, I got it. That's going to surprise you. You understand what I'm saying? We need some people who are in the kingdom, connected with the kingdom. Everybody want to go to heaven and be on the gold streets, have the gated community. But nobody want to do what's required to get there. I don't mean just die. I'm talking about working while you're down here. But we've got another chance to do right. And we can't keep doing wrong just because we can give, we have a chance. At some point, we got to stop doing wrong and start doing right. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity. We got to take advantage of it. And I don't know about you, but since God has given me another chance to do right, I'm going to take advantage of it and do just what he said, because I want to hear him say one day, you fought.
Good fight.
It wasn't a great fight, Ricky. I mean, you there were some days when you were down when you should have been up. There was days when you were up when you should have been down. You were talking when you should have been quiet. But you fought a good fight, and you finished your course. Not somebody else's course, but you stayed in line and finished your course. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I come on up a little bit higher. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Church, God is a God. The God we serve, somebody say, he's a God of second chances. But I tell you, not just second chances, but third chances, fourth chances, fifth chance. You get the picture. And ad nauseum, God gives us another chance. We have another chance to do right. Jonah, can you help me out? Jonah was on his way. He was told to go down to Tarshish, but he didn't like the people in Tarshish. It's amazing to me. Sometimes God gives us stuff to do that involves people we don't necessarily like, and we find ourselves not wanting to do it because we don't like the people God is sending us to. So he didn't go to Tarshish. Instead, he went down to Nineveh. He chose to go the other way. He rose to flee from Tarshish, from the presence unto his brethren to Tarshish, in the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and got on a ship going to Tarshish. He went down to the ship, went down to the side of the ship, laid down and went down to sleep. But the Lord caused a great wind to hit the ship, and they cast lots, and guess what? Jonah lost, and they cast him down into the sea. And he found himself now down in the belly of a great fish. And I believe now Jonah has gone down as far as he could go. Because, see, again, I want to correct the story. He was told to go to Nineveh, but he chose to go to Tarshish. But then now he's down in a fish, in a sea, as low as he could go. And you may be where Jonah has been, or where Jonah was. And maybe in your life, you're down in a situation. I got some good news for you. While he was down there, he said, I cried unto the Lord. Out of the belly of hell, I cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard me and gave me a second chance. When he gave me a second chance, when he got up out of that fish, he took a trip that normally would have taken 3 days. He took it in 1 day. Church, we got to get in a hurry because we've wasted a lot of time. But we have another chance to do right. There's some souls that need to be saved. There's some folks that need to be encouraged. There's somebody that need to be lifted up. We wasted a whole lot of time. We got to get in a hurry. What would have taken us 3 days, we got to accelerate our time and get it done in a day. Young people, you're going back to school. You got another chance to do it right. Church, we are ourselves a Christian. We have another chance to do it right. Husband, you have another chance to do it right. Wives, you have another chance to do it right. Supervisors, you have another chance to do it right. Employees, you have another chance to do it right. Doctors and lawyers, you have another chance to do it right. Teachers and preachers, you have another chance to do it right. Deacons and deaconesses, you have another chance to do it right. Ushers and ushers, you have another chance to do it right. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through. But what I know today is, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, you have another chance. I say another chance. Another chance. Another chance to do it right. I met Jesus one day. He was in the garden. He said, Father, remove this cup from me. Not at my will, Lord, but thy will be done. He said, Father, I'm a little weak right now. I don't want you to do what I say do. I'm asking you, but don't do it at my will, because my will say I'm done. But Father, you know what's best for me. Just every now and then, we just got to rely on the Lord. It may be too difficult for us, but put it in God's hand. He said, well, all right. He said, well, I'll go if you tell me to go. Now he's on the cross, out on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But then I hear him say, it's finished. Thank you, Lord. It's finished. That wasn't the end of the story. Went down in the grave. Got up out of the grave. Went back to heaven. Second chance. Back to his father's house. Back to his father's house. Remind me of the prodigal son. Welcome home. Why don't you stand to your feet? If you're here today, I want to encourage you. If you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, I want to extend this invitation to you right now. This has got nothing to do with anybody else but you as an individual. If you're here and you can hear me and you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sin, I extend the invitation. Romans 9:10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God is risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here, it's just that easy to be saved. Confess and believe. That's not hard. Just confess and believe, and he'll take you from there. God has something great in store for you. You've already been given dominion, leadership role. He just wants you to step up to it. But you can't do that unless you know who he is, because he is the ultimate leader, and he's going to give you your instructions. If you're here today, I extend an invitation to you. Maybe you're here and you're visiting, you're looking for a church home so you can do the work God has already ordained you to do. So I extend his invitation to you as well. If you know him and you need someone to do work, the harvest is plenteous, the labors are few. We've got much work to do here, and we need help. So if you're here today, we extend that invitation to you as well. If you're here, hallelujah. Another chance, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Is there another one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Much work to be done. If you're here, there's still time. There's still time. There's still time. There's still time. We chase after them, won't we? We come and get you. Raise your hand. We'll come at you. Amen. Amen. Is there another one? As the music plays, everyone ought to be praying. If you already know him, you ought to be praying, because there's someone here today who needs to know him. There's someone here who needs to join in God's army and do a work for him. If you're here, hallelujah. Those are saved should be praying. Hallelujah. Another chance. We got another chance, church. That's why I praise you, Lord. I lift, I magnify your name. Hallelujah. Ah, that's why my heart is praying. My. I love you. Anyone else? I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name.